All right, so we are still in our series, Table Scraps, and you saw some guys eat some nasty table scraps at the beginning of this thing, right? How many of you guys were like, I totally could have done that? Yeah, no problems. No? There's a lot of weak stomachs in the room. Okay. All right, there's a couple brave souls out there. I see a few brave souls. That's awesome. So I actually, there's this couple, this super, super nice couple at my church when I was younger. And they were like the type of couple that everybody loved to be around. And they would invite students from the youth group over to do different things around their house and like give them money for mission trips and that type of couple. And so I had been invited over to help out with some things, and I went above and beyond. Like, I was there for an entire week doing yard work and just doing all this stuff for this family. And just helping out, and more than they had even asked. But I loved them a lot, and I wanted to just kind of bless them, so I did all this work. So near the end of that week, as I was like finishing up, they're like, hey, on Friday, we want you to come back Friday night. We want to like just treat you to a nice meal and spend some time with you to say thank you for everything that you've done. And I was like, score, I love food, okay. So Friday night comes, I finish everything up, I go home, shower, change, get ready for this nice little fancy meal they're going to make me. And I come to the house and we sit down, and the wife had like made like a really fancy table, and there were like, you know, stuff that was way too nice for me. I'd probably break if I touched on the table. And we're chilling, and she comes out with the food, right? And I'm thinking, this is going to be the best meal. Like, they're treating me. This is so nice of them. And she comes out and she puts it on the table and she pulls the little platter thing off the top. And I see that she had made fish. I didn't like fish. Not only did I not like fish, like, let's say, throw up when I eat fish. So I take it, and I'm trying to be really nice and polite and smile, and I know they're trying to do this really good thing for me, so I put on this huge fake smile, and I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And she takes the biggest portion of fish, and she scoops that big old puppy up, and she slaps it on my plate, and she's like, we are just so grateful. And I'm like, me too. Like one of those. And I'm smelling it by this point. You know, I hate the smell of fish too. So it's like going up in my nostrils, and I'm like, and I'm like fighting it off. And I don't even want to look down at my plate because it's going to gross me out so much. And everyone starts eating, and I'm thinking, maybe if I push the salad around or just start like moving things with my fork, it'll be okay, and they won't notice that I'm not actually touching the fish. So I try that, and it doesn't work. And they're like, oh, you haven't tried the fish yet. Try it. We made it special just for you. And I'm thinking, oh, great. So I take this cut of fish, you know, and I put it in my mouth. And I'm not lying. You can ask my mama to this day for proof. I threw up, like projectile throw up, all onto that plate and the really nice tablecloth. I took a bite and was just like, bah! And I felt so bad because I was trying to hold it in with everything, but the second it got in my mouth and I could smell it that close, it was just like, wah, wah, here it comes, you know, and it's like you can't stop it once the train starts, and it just like pours out all over the table. You should have seen the faces of these people. It was awesome, but terrible at the same time, because they just turned white and were just like, what just happened? You know, like one of those. And I didn't even remember. I black out to remember how I dealt with the humiliation of what had happened. I just remember being so, so sorry for throwing up on their table when they tried to do this really nice thing. And as wonderful and nice as that was of them, they probably should have checked before to see what I actually liked. Right? If they wanted to like bless me and serve me this really nice meal, they should have found out if I liked that meal before they gave it to me. And they didn't, and I didn't like it, and then I threw up. So it didn't work out. Well, as we're talking about this passage tonight, there's a similar situation going on. Believe it or not, in the passage, there's this table and there's food, and we see God, and he's like not happy with the meal. And there's some people that are trying to serve this meal to God, and they never checked to see if God actually honored that meal or wanted that meal. And so I want you guys to look with me. We're in Malachi still, walking through it. We did verses 1 to 5 last week. We're on verse 6 tonight. And we saw how these people of Israel, they doubted the love of God. Like, God's telling them, I love you. And they're like, do you really? how have you loved us? And it's changing the way they behave and the decisions that they make and their relationship with God, because they don't really believe. Remember, we had the umbrella and we said, when you believe it's going to rain, you use an umbrella. If you don't, you don't open the umbrella up. And these people, they just didn't believe. They weren't responding to God as if he actually loved them. They had become jaded toward him. And so now we're into this part in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, where God and these people are kind of having this conversation back and forth. Read with me what it says here. Let's just look at verse 6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I'm a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. Now listen, God is both father and master of these people. Of his children, he is the father. He is their creator. He is the one who gives them life. And he's also their master. He's their Lord and their king. And he knows what's best for them. And because he's God, he gets to tell them how to live. And it's way better than anything they would decide for themselves. And he's like, hey, listen, if you believe in me, if you follow me, if you're my children, am I not your father and your master? Well, how come children actually honor their fathers, but you're not honoring me? And servants honor their masters, but you're not honoring me. He's like, what's the deal here? Where is the respect that I'm due? You look at me and you don't trust that I love you. You ask me these questions like this that are just argumentative because you don't believe what I'm telling you. You're jaded. Your heart's getting numb toward me. And so you're not respecting me. And your choices, your decisions, it's showing up in those decisions. And then they say this, they ask him the question, right? Because they're jaded. And they're mad at God, and they don't believe that God loves them. And so they say, but you say, how have we despised your name? See, they're starting this little like fight with God. It's this back and forth. Like every time God says something, they ask the question. You ever done that with your brother or sister? Oh yeah, prove it. You know, like one of those. And they're getting sassy with God here. Like, seriously, God, how can you say that we've despised your name? And God already knew they were going to say it. He already knew because he knows everything. We just see more doubt. This question that they ask just shows even more. They don't trust him. They don't believe in him. They don't believe that he actually cares about them. And here's what it did. It caused them not to even see their own sin. Even in this question, how have we despised your name? Show me, God, how have we sinned? How are we broken? How is our relationship with you messed up? Prove it. Because they don't trust that God loves them. They can't even see their own brokenness. They can't see how they're messing up. You ever been there? You ever been there with God where you are sure he should do something a certain way in your life, and you are just in this kind of wrestling match with him, and you don't trust him, and you're wondering, do you even love me? And in the process, you're not recognizing your own sin and your own brokenness before him, and that's all he wants you to see. He's just trying to show it to you. He's trying to have you be honest with yourself so he could come in and fix it. But you're too busy arguing with him. You're too busy trying to prove him wrong, right? In one of these arguments where you have to be right, and that's what they're doing. So God answers him. He says this, by offering polluted food upon my altar. You put a bunch of trash food, contaminated food, on my table for me to eat. That's the picture he's giving. You see, these were priests, and it was their job, right, to bring offerings before God, and they would sacrifice the best animals, right? Bulls and sheep. And God had laid out what he wanted from them. Like, that couple never asked me if I liked fish. They just gave it to me. That's what's happening here, because God's like, listen, I want you to go out and find the perfect lamb. It can't have blemishes. It can't have anything wrong with it. It's going to be the best one you have. Go find the biggest, best one, the healthiest one. That's the one I want you to give. But they didn't ask. They didn't listen to what God actually wanted. And so they're offering him table scraps, garbage, the leftover stuff. Wait, that one right there, that's really good. I mean, that one's like a perfect one. So let's keep that for ourselves. And this one over here, it's kind of sick and little and runty. And it's not that great. So we'll bring this one to the temple instead. Like, It's almost like saying God won't recognize. You know, he won't know what we're doing here. Let's just give him the leftovers, the junk, the table scraps. It's not a big deal. An offering that was rejected by God, and you guys probably do too, back in Genesis with Cain and Abel, where Abel was able to give God this good sacrifice that he had asked for, but Cain kind of did his own thing and didn't listen to God when he told him what he was looking for. Cain kind of brought his own thing, and God rejected it. He's like, that doesn't please me. And here we see the same thing. This is happening. People just saying here, this is what I choose to give you, God, whether you want this or not, this is what I'm giving you. You ever do that with your life? You ever had that conversation with God? Where you're like, Lord, I know because I've been to church enough. I know what it is you want from me. But I'm just going to give you this instead. It's much easier. It takes way less time. And I can still do all this fun stuff over here that I want to do if I just give you this instead. So here, I'm choosing to give you this. Eat this. Take this. Put this on your table. Don't touch this stuff. This is good. This is the best. I want this for me, right? So they're giving him table scraps, and God says, he cuts them off. He doesn't even let them talk. This next thing, he knows what they're going to say. So he goes, but you say, how have you polluted? How have we polluted you? Like, he's like, I know you're going to ask this because I can already tell how jaded you are, and I'm God. I know everything. He's like, so here's what you're going to ask me. How have we polluted you? Here's that argument. That debate, they just won't let it go. Like, they have to win. God, no, we're right. You've not treated us right. We have plenty of reason to be upset down here. Life isn't going the way we want it to go, so it's your fault, God. Man, that sounds so familiar. See, in the moments you find yourself arguing with God, it's the very moment you probably should just close your mouth, fall down on your knees, and just start listening. Instead of trying to push your point and convince God to agree with you, maybe you need to just fall down before him and submit and say, God, let me just hear your voice. Tell me what's wrong. Show me what's wrong with me. Like King David says when he writes that psalm, right? Like, look into my heart, show me my sins. That's what he wants us to do, is fall on our knees and just say, God, you win. You're God. You're right. There's no question. Why am I even arguing with you right now? Show me my wrongs. Tell me what my brokenness is so you can fix it. If you're in the middle of an argument tonight with God, can I challenge you to just give up? You just fall on your knees and just be like, Lord, I can't keep fighting over this. You've been asking me for weeks or months or maybe years to do this thing and to submit to you or to give this thing up, and I just won't. I keep pushing table scraps at you instead. Tonight, would you give up the argument? Would you let him win? Not that you have to, because he's going to win. But would you fall to your knees tonight in submission and just say, Lord, talk. Let me just hear you. Explain. Tell me what is wrong inside of me. Look what happens next. He says, by saying that the Lord's table may be despised, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? You hear what these guys are doing? They're not even giving like the smaller ones, maybe the second or third best. They're going to find like the animals that are lame and blind and sick, like the ones that are useless to them. They're not going to eat those. They're not going to use those for anything. So they're grabbing the trashiest thing they could find, bringing it to the altar and saying, God won't notice anyway. Here you go. Take this. We don't really want it, and we have no use for it. Whew. You know that God asked for sacrifice out of their first fruit. This word first, Jesus is called the first fruit, the first among his brethren, right? And what this means is not necessarily like the first one that came along, but the best. The best. God wants the best of you. Just like he wanted the best of the animals and the best of the sacrifices, what he wants from you is that you offer your best. You don't hold things back for yourself and say, this part's really cool, I want this, Lord. He says, no, 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 no. I want all of it. even the best parts, the parts that you hold dearest, the parts that you don't want to give up to anyone else, including me, I want you to take those and hand those over to me. Put them on the altar. Let me take those. I know you're super talented in that area, and it takes up most of your time. You don't even have time to study the Bible. You don't have time to pray to me. You don't have time to go to youth group or church. You don't have time to serve. You don't have time to do any of the things I've called my followers to do because you're so good at that thing and it consumes your time. And I want you to take it and put it on the altar. You think it's the best part of you, so give it to me. Let me decide what to do with that thing, that hobby, that talent, that skill, that thing that consumes your life. Those friends that you spend all your time with that you would consider the best part of your life, God's saying, take that and give it to me. Stop hoarding it for yourself. Stop letting it dominate your life. I want the best. I want the first. I want all of you. Then he kind of gets personal with her. Look at this next part. He really gives it to him. He says, present that to your governor. Will he accept or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. So imagine if your governor came to town, he's talking to them, right? This guy who everybody looked up to. And that day it was kind of like a movie star, like a celebrity. Leaders and political figures. So this guy was like this celebrity, this governor comes to town with power and money and authority and comes to their house to eat. And they sit down, right? And the governor wants to eat this food at their house. What would they serve him? Would they go and get this blind, sick animal who probably has like some disease and cut it up and feed it to their governor? And like maybe get him sick, like the worst that they could find? Or this really skinny cow, you know, that like you have like this bone, you have to like eat like this. It's like, this is your steak. Yum, it's like a lollipop. Like it's so small. Like, no, you wouldn't give this trashy food to him. So why are you offering it to me? And Justin and Miranda are going to come up and they're going to bring up something to help illustrate my point here. So, Miranda, if you will come up first, okay? Let's say that your boss, you guys might not even have a job yet. How many of you guys do have a job? Any jobs in the room? A few of you, all right? Your boss, imagine you work at Chick-fil-A, right? And your boss is coming to your house and he's like, I'm going to come over, I'm bringing my wife and kids and we're going to come to your house and we're going to spend some time with you. We're so excited. And so now it's your job to be like, whoa, this dude owns Chick-fil-A. It's Jesus chicken. It's so delicious. I better have something really good for him. So what you do is you go to your freezer and you pull out this delicious TV dinner, frozen TV dinner. And you take it over to your microwave and you slide it in and put 200 start. Beep. You know, it does a little thing. You're done. 2 minutes. Meals prepped. This delicious TV dinner is now ready for your boss who pays you money and could give you an awesome raise at Chick-fil-A and you could be like the owner of a Jesus chicken restaurant one day yourself, right? If you play your cards right and give him this delicious frozen dinner. In the microwave, you sweat and bled to make this meal for him in that microwave for 2 minutes, right? That's one way you could go. That's disgusting. That's one way you could go. Oh, it's eating away at my skin. Oh, it's burning. No, it's not. Or you could try this way. Instead, you say, my boss is really important. I want to impress him. This means a lot to me, and so I want to show him that I'm going to work hard and that I'm going to prepare and put a lot of sweat and blood into what I cook for him. And so instead, I'm going to go to the fridge, and I'm going to get this big, nice, juicy piece of I'm going to try to open this and not spill it on the floor because this is my dinner later. No, just kidding. Maybe it will be. But anyway, chicken. Big old quarter piece of chicken. Woo! I cooked it. It's juicy. It's delicious. I steamed the broccoli myself. Smashed the potatoes, right? Put the butter in there. Lots of good salted sweet cream butter. Oh, so good. And a Hawaiian roll. Baked it myself. No, I didn't really make that, but let's say you had, and you spent the time, right? You spent all this time in there, and you're in the kitchen, and you were sweating and working. So when he sits down, you know what your boss is going to think, or she? Man, they cared about this meal. that really cared about me. They took the time and put in the effort to take all this stuff, all these ingredients, and make a beautiful meal for me. They didn't just grab something out of the freezer and throw it in the microwave and say, here, here's some table scraps. They took the time to make something awesome, to give the best that you could present to him. And it's not even saying it has to be like this awesome, major, rich thing. He's just saying, what's your best? Whatever it is. Might not even be that big piece of chicken, but if it's your best, then he's going to know. And you're presenting it to him saying, look, I love you. You're going to Jesus and you're saying, I love you. Take my life. Take all of it. Take the whole thing. I'm not going to give you the second best or anything but the best. And so he says, would you do that for your governor? What would your governor think? Would he find it to be something that's worthy? Would he look at it and be like, man, did you even spend any time at all? Did you even care that I was coming over tonight? So here's the point. The reason why God is asking these people this is because he's saying, should I care? Should I look at you and go, what you're offering me from your life is telling me that you don't care at all about me? You're keeping all the best parts for yourself. You're offering me the table scraps of your life. That's all you're giving me. And I'm sitting at your table. And you know what? I came a long way. Jesus came a long way to die on a cross for you, to give you everything. His whole life laid out on a cross. The best he could give was there, nailed to a cross to die so you could have that gift. Don't you think he deserves us to go, here, have all of me back? I know you're a lot better than me. You're worth a lot more than me, but this is what I have. Take all of it. The best parts, the worst parts, it's all yours, Jesus. What are you offering to God? Is it something that he should look at and say, man, this is awesome? Look what he says next. He says, and now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. So he says, flip it from the governor to God. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? With what you're offering to God tonight, you know that this offering is just this tangible expression to say, this is how much I love you. This is how much I value you, God. Would he look back and say, yeah, that's worth it. Yeah, I'm satisfied with what you're giving me right now. He says, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors that you might not kindle the fire on my altar in vain. I wish there was one of you priests. He's talking to these priests, right? I wish there was one of you that would just close up this furnace so that nobody else would put these junky sacrifices on here that are totally worthless. Because what it's doing is making you guys hypocrites. You're coming in, you're priests, you're supposedly serving me, right? And you're bringing this big sacrifice and doing this ceremony and making a big deal. Like, hey, look at us. We worship God. And they're throwing these like trashy second bests up onto the fire of the altar. And he's like, and you do it and you think you're so like pious. You're so like religious and all that. And really what you're doing is just presenting an empty, broken, dirty heart that's full of hypocrisy because I know that you're giving me your table scraps. And it's making you a hypocrite. If there's one complaint that the world has about people in church, it's that they're hypocrites. They see it. It's obvious. Nobody's fooling anybody. And I pray that God keep this group of people from being hypocrites. From acting like we love Jesus and we go to youth group and we post stuff on Instagram about worship and our hands are up and all this deal that we do. And really inside, we're just giving God second best because all the good stuff we're holding over here for ourselves, like, God, don't touch it. God, you can't have that. That's mine. I pray that we're not hypocrites. God says that there were one of you that would just close those doors so that we don't have to look at that and know that you're giving me second best. And then this is how he responds, ready? This is God's big answer at the end. He says, for from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. God says from sunrise to sunset, across the entire world. So what he's saying is through all time and space, he is the greatest, most glorious being to ever live, and he deserves to be glorified. He deserves your entire life. He made you, he created you, and his son died for you. He deserves your praise. He deserves your best. And I hope you're giving it to him. Is that how you glorify him? Is all your time an offering to God? Every second of your day, every thought, every action, is it all his? Do they belong to Jesus? Everywhere you go, whoever you're with, or whatever you're doing, are you praising him? Are you seeking to honor him with your actions and your words and everything that you are? God wants all of you. He wants the best parts, but he wants all of it. Is that how you're offering praise to God? Or are you holding back? Here's what he says to them. He says, but you profane it. When you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You know what these people are saying? These priests are just tired of doing the offerings. They're tired of giving God the best stuff and then keeping the worst for themselves. It's growing old in their hearts. And you know why it's growing old? Because their relationship with God is growing old. They're not spending time with him. They're not looking up at him and realizing how big and awesome and powerful in all the earth, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, how great God is. They're not seeing that. And because they're not seeing it, they're getting jaded. They're getting bored of giving him these sacrifices. They're wondering, why can't we keep this for ourselves? Every day that you wake up, spend time with Jesus. Get your eyes pulled back on how awesome he is, on how big he is. Take a peek at his glory as you open God's word and read about him and pray and spend time with him. It's when we don't spend time with Jesus and we don't work on that relationship that we have with Christ to just enjoy him, that's when we start to go, man, I'm tired of this church thing. I'm tired of reading my Bible. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of serving people. I just want to just go do me. And our relationship with God just turns into this jaded, argumentative thing where we just blame him all the time for everything he didn't do. Instead of waking up and saying, I can't wait to see you today. I can't wait to spend time with you today. I can't wait to praise you and see your glory. If these priests had done that, man, I don't think they'd be saying this complaint right now. But God sees it in them. He's looking in their hearts and he's like, I'm seeing it right there. This brokenness, this just being tired of worshiping me. He says, you bring what has been taken by violence or lame or sick, and this you bring as an offering. I know you're bringing me table scraps. I know you're bringing me the junk. And I want the best. He says, shall I accept that from your hand? I hope you hear God's voice tonight. I hope you hear him asking you that question tonight. I don't know where you sit. I don't know where you are in your life or your relationship with Jesus, but the Bible's asking all of us to look at it and to ask the question, should God accept what you're offering him? Is it something that it's worthy of him? Or are you just giving him the parts that you don't care about? He says, cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, yet sacrifices to the Lord what's blemished. And here's why. Listen, for I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Y'all, God is great, and he is worthy to be feared, and he is a great king, and he loves you more than anything. So when you take the whole thing, your whole life, all of you, the best parts, and you hand it over to him, you can be confident that he's going to do unbelievably better things with it than you ever would. But you need to look up and see him for who he is. Stop thinking you're so great and holding all the things that you think are so awesome about yourself to yourself. Look up and go, that is so much better. God is so much greater than I am. I want that. I want him to take all of me so I can be with him, because it's so much better. Would you guys close your eyes for a second? As the band comes back up here, would you just ask God a simple question? Say, God, is what I'm offering you acceptable to you? And will you just take a second to listen? Just say, God, let me hear your voice.